Good morning. Today's class is in the success of the soldiers, in the success of the hostages, Lunishma Yahbil Yanam Gdalia, success in Yashma Lishava Bagadi of Lisheva, Emmet Belisheva, Shefa Belisheva, Reda Makabato Basha, and Gadi Albert Lisheva. Please share and rate the podcast. We had an incredible time in Mexico, two great classes over there. We're an amazing, amazing community, and very, very excited to meet new people. I had no idea we had such a following in Mexico City. Every time I show up to these, we have no idea. I can't track. I don't know where people are coming from. It's so beautiful to see everybody connected to Rabbi Nachman, specifically in a Syrian Sephardic Synagogue community. It's usually, you have to break through these. But the Syrians are breaking through. They're breaking through. Rabbi Nachman's breaking through the Syrian community. I just want to give you, today what we're going to talk about is we're going to talk about the actual 13 attributes of mercy. And we're going to talk about just how this works in life. What happens? Just a quick story. I'm leaving here Tuesday, ready to go to Mexico. I went to the gym. All of a sudden, my trunk opens up. I have no idea why it opened up. It just opens up. I stop, close the car. Next thing you know, I'm driving to the airport. And some guy calls me, and I never pick up phones if it's, I don't know the person. I never pick up. Okay, it's a 305, maybe something. Calls me again. I said, okay. I have to pick up if somebody's calling me three times. So he says, this is Israel. Did you put on your tefillin today? I said, Mishu guy, I thought Chabad only does this in person. Now they're cold calling people to put on their tefillin. I said, are you crazy? What tefillin? Of course I put on my tefillin. The guy's name is Israel. I said, are you calling me to put on my tefillin? I mean, it's not enough. I said, yes, I put on my tefillin today. He goes, no, I have your tefillin. So basically, I dropped my tefillin in the middle of the street. I have no idea. It just, they dropped off because I was going to Mexico. I dropped them off, and one of my friends, Ronan, he bought me a bag of tefillin, and he put my phone number there. And he found them, and he put my phone number, and the guy returned them. So it reminds me, now it reminded me, 4 days ago before, all of a sudden, one of my neighbors that lives really four or five houses away, all of a sudden, they started to, next thing you know, all their Amazon stuff is coming to my house, okay? And obviously, it's enough to have my own Amazon stuff for my wife and all that. Next thing you know, it's my neighbor's Amazon. My house looks like a warehouse at the end of the day. So I said, go pick it up. I said, you know what? There's a mitzvah to return something. There's a mitzvah to return something. So what? Here we go. I'm an Amazon driver now. I go deliver the things to their house. And it happened 2-3 days. And I'm like, it's a mitzvah to return something. So you could see in life what happens. I return the Amazon boxes. This guy returned my tefillin. This is the way the universe works. So I just want the whole point of the story is to get you into this 13 attributes of mercy. This is the way the universe works. You understand? This is exactly the way Hashem works, measure for measure. You understand? Just like I could those tefillin, two tefillin, besides the other things, the hassle to re-get them. And not only did the guy bring him back, he brought him back to the synagogue. I mean, he didn't just, here, go pick them up in some random house. He brought them back to where I pray. So he went above the letter of the law. And just like that, that's exactly how we have to start living. We have to start living a little bit above the letter of the law. And this is exactly, I've always spoken about the sigulot of what Tomer Devor does. Rav Nachman says it opens up pipelines. There's sources here. The Divrei of San says that it's a gula to protect from, God forbid, the illness of cancer, God forbid. We've spoken about many. It suppresses all sins. It suppresses all sins, etc. So now we're going to talk about what actually are the 13, and how can I basically tap into these things. So basically, every single situation in your life, you're giving yourself a chance to tap into a specific thing, a specific word of the 13 midot. And if you connect to the 13 midot, that basically nullifies the sin. So, we have a little bit of traffic here in the hallway here. I don't know. Okay. Let's start. So basically, a change of action changes a decree. We already spoke why we're speaking about this today specifically. We're speaking about this specifically because this is exactly the parsha of the week where the Jews sin with the golden calf. And they were forgiven, and Moshe says, God forgave them, and God revealed to him his attributes. And this is what we say every single day, El Rahum V'Chanun Erech Apayim. We say this on Yom Kippur, you say 26 times. You say it so much, you don't even know. But at the end of the day, think about what we're doing in Yom Kippur. We're forgiving and we're saying this. We're forgiving and we're saying this. So we're tapping into the highest energy of Keter. Now, what happens is when you can connect to the energy of Keter, where this comes from, because anything above 12 is above mercy, is above. Like Adar is 13. This Adar is above. Anything you're dealing with above, that can actually change your mazel. That can actually change mazla, which you could change your actual mazel. Because normally a guy's income, life, and children are destined by specific mazel. You can go above mazla when you go to 13. When you go to Keter, you can go above mazel. It's a very, very powerful thing. So the segula here, or the 13 attributes, is that the same way a person acts below, he merits it's opening up a channel above, through which the 13 attributes ascend. Precisely, he behaves in the same flow from above, causing the same attribute to shine into the world. Therefore, one should never underestimate the 13 attributes of mercy, and should never seize them, because every single situation in my life is an opportunity for me to have to change my energy, to change my fortune, to change my this. For example, let's say I'm resenting somebody, that person feels hatred in their hearts, they hate me, I hate them. Let's say I pray for them, now I'm sending them love, now they're gonna all of a sudden change, and I'm the one responsible for changing them. Okay? Let's say all of a sudden you're completely overwhelmed financially and you're blind to bitachon. You're blind to trust in God. You're worried, you're anxious, you're angry. You give charity, that charity changes the energy. So the energy could always be changed. So the 13 attributes of mercy is we can always change everything, anytime, any moment, anything by practically doing. Now what God does is we're not so aware of these things. So he sends people in our lives so that, because for example, let's say we walk around one day completely ungrateful, and we complain about everything. Okay? So what's going to happen? Well, you sort of insulted God. He's given you life force. You sort of insulted. So what's going to happen? He's going to send somebody to insult you. And that, because what happens? You insulted God. You insulted God by being ungrateful. So he's going to show you somebody who's ungrateful to you. Now, when you forgive him, then God forgives you. But all of these things are happening because you need the forgiveness. It's not for the people. The world has it all wrong. The world has it all. I'm telling you, the more I get into Kabbalah and Chassidus, the world has it completely backwards. They'll tell you, just put an X, cancel culture, you know, toxic, everybody's toxic, and you're the victim. And no, you're the co-creator. You're not the victim. What's the matter with you? You're a co-creator. You're not a victim. Do you understand the problem the world has? It's enabling you, it's validating your mediocrity, validating your safety and all that. No, you're supposed to be above nature. Not supposed to be that. You understand? We don't need validation. We need liberation in our lives. You need to be liberated, right? The more validation you're looking for, the less you're going to get it, the more you're going to feel insulted in life. You need to be liberated, not to be validated. Tried to say that word in Spanish, I chopped it up completely. So the first decree practically, you understand? Think about my goal in my relationship is to be liberated, not be validated. Imagine what your relationship would look like if you didn't need validation all the time. You would be free. But imagine your relationship where you need to be validated all the time. You're a hostage to still. It doesn't mean we need love from each other. But sometimes the person is not in the right mood, they're not in the right place, but it doesn't mean you need constant validation. You really, really need validation. So the first attribute came. That means, can you imagine something like this can extinguish the golden calf, the sin of idolatry? I mean, just the amount of mercy that can come to a person. Why? Because remember, 13 is bigger than 12. 12 is 12 star, 12 planets, 12 constellations. 13 is above. So the first one, I'm gonna go through the 13 and try to go a little bit quickly, but I strongly recommend that you should buy the book Tomer Devorah, specifically by, I only told them 100 times, but we'll see, we have to have mercy on them also. Okay. So you should buy the Feldheim edition. The one you should buy is the Feldheim edition. So practical, in order for you to be liberated in your life emotionally, you need two books. You need Let It Go, and you need Tomer Devorah. Those two books will liberate you, because number one, with the Letting Go book, at least you recognize not everything's about you. And number two, you look in the Tomer Devorah book will allow you to look at this as an opportunity for you to be forgiven. Because very few of us, when we let go of things, we don't look at it as an opportunity. We don't look for an opportunity. Wow, did I do something that maybe similar to this concept? No, it's the Feldheim edition. It's the one with the white and blue, not the blue. It's the Feldheim edition. That is the best one. The author obviously is the Ramak, but the guy who wrote this, just look at the Feldheim edition. That's just the one that should be bought. So the first attribute is Hashem, who is like you. Just like Hashem bears insult, right? So what happens? Just like he bears insult. And how do we insult God? We insult God by being ungrateful. We insult God by questioning him all the time. We insult God by not appreciating his blessings. So what happens? That's an insult. You're insulting God at the end of the day. So what happens? So somebody comes in your life and they're going to insult you. So what happens when you when you don't take it personally? What happens? Then God doesn't take personally what happened to you. So what happens is the whole point of this is when you're walking around with negative energy, right? That blocks the light, that blocks blessing, and that causes confusion. So we want to get rid of, we want to cleansing. This is a practical, we have a live Tomer Devorah moment. We told people, they're sitting right, this is the live Tomer Devorah moment, by the way. So we're going to have patience for them, and we're going to judge them favorably that maybe they didn't hear the fourth time we said to move out of the way. Okay, it's okay. This is a practical Tomer Devorah in action, thank God. By the way, every single time I talk about Tomer Devorah, because it has such benefits to it, the Satan, he works, he's like an overtime mode, because he knows this is the, anytime you're working on the truth, anytime you're getting something that's going to really help you, right? You want to do Kundalini Yoga all day long, nobody's going to bother you, the weather will be perfect, the moon, everything will be great. What are you going to get? Nothing out of it. You want to do something that's going to change your life? Everybody, the Satan wakes up and everything, etc. Tomer Devorah means the palm of Devorah. Tomer Devorah. But again, the book is created by Rock. See, we're just trying to get through the first one. Hold on. Okay, so the first one of the, I'm sorry for the interruption. The first one of the attributes is basically to bear insult. So think about people who insulted you. Instead of taking it personal, the practicality of this would be is to look at areas of times where you insulted God by questioning him, not by questioning him, by being ungrateful. Ungrateful is a great way to insult God. When you're walking around like the snake, this is not going right, complaining all the time, that is ultimately an insult. So basically, that's measure for measure. So now look at insults completely different. This is exactly what we say at night in Amidah. We say, God, please make me like dust. Make me like dust, that nobody can offend me. Because when you do this, you're completely free. The second attribute, he bears sin. So this is even greater than the second one, because what happens is every single time you create a sin, you're actually creating a negative angel. And that negative angel has the ability to cause damage. So what happens, just like you create a negative angel, a positive angel, this is why we always want to have good against bad. Because what happens, let's say you have, imagine you're in trial, right? And you have, you're a jury, and four like you, and five like you, and four don't. You're going to win the trial. But if 10 don't like you, and only one likes you, you got a problem. So what we have to do is when we get into it, because the law in life is one sin causes another sin. That's what happens. When we sin, what does sin do practically to us? It confuses us. It makes us confused. And then while we're confused, we get into more of a confusion. And then we get into more of a confusion. You oversleep. Next thing you know, you get angry at work. Next thing you know, you fight with your wife. Next thing you know, you you don't spend time with your kids, next thing you know, you have a bad day. It's because 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. But if you would have broken the pattern there, you would have changed the whole day. So the second one is just even the fact that he bears sin, that even if the person insults you and it creates damage, you still have to recognize that the same thing God does to you. He doesn't automatically punish us. He bears sins. He bears, it causes an injury. We also cause an injury in heaven because we've created all of these extra things. God forbid, specifically sexual blemishes. When a person has a sexual blemish, such as spilling, see, you know what you're doing? You're creating thousands of negative energies. And they're all coming and saying, we want you. We want energy. Because remember, the other side lives on fallen Kedusha. They hijack Kedusha. They hijack Kedusha. So they always try to go and screw anything spiritual. They basically hijack it. Because a seed has the potential for children, but the opposite has the potential for destruction. So they'd like to go, it's a clip, they like to go and hijack Kedusha. So you're creating all of these negative angels. So what happens? Reb Nachman says specifically that when a person has sexual blemishes and all this, he's in a receiving energy, he's going to get treated he's going to get embarrassed. He could be embarrassed financially. I don't have money to come up with the loan. I don't have money to pay the rent. Or it could be find embarrassed by his spouse or by his girlfriend. They'll disgrace him. I don't want to go out with you tonight. So what happens? If he takes it right, that embarrassment cleanses him from that sin. So really, again, the more I speak, the harder it is to speak to people because they're very sensitive. But at the end of the day, sensitivity is really saying I have a big ego and I don't want to hear it. So it's very hard, and I've been called, you know, we're not here really to, I have many things to do in my life, but if I'm not going to get, we're not going to get results, we're not going to get anything out of it. So I hate the tough love, but I would also want tough love. I don't want to be enabled and tell you everything's okay, take your time. No, we have to change the momentum, period. When your business is going down, you don't say, well, take your time, just wait. No, got to change. If you don't change, you can go out of business. Did you ever hear Kodak moments anymore? You want to be a Kodak moment? It's a Kodak moment. We don't see Kodak anymore because things move. Things change in our lives, etc. So it's extremely important. Take these things and really take a sense of urgency. That's called Ratzon, and that will get you. The third thing. So the first one, we say a person accepts insult. The second one, he not only is he insulted, but he's causing damage. The third one is he removes iniquity. It means God cleanses you. He cleanses you. Not only what does he say here? Hashem cleanses the sin and he washes your sin. So now all of a sudden, let's say a neighbor comes, he runs over your garden, you forgive him, and now you're cleaning up and repaying and refixing your own garden. The same thing with us. Just like the mother, when the kid comes home with filth, what happens? The mother cleans him up. God is always cleaning up. So you're going to have these situations. And again, according to the amount of things that you do, these things come. The amount of ingratitude that you have, that's why angry people are always angrier, because there's more people that trigger them, because they're not seeing the more areas of a person, God forbid, he's falling in certain sins, the more he's going to have emotional problems and emotional problems. There's no question about it. So this is why mercy is the most important thing you could do. So the third one is obviously he also cleans up the act. Number four, the fourth attribute is basically to the remnant of inheritance. What does that mean practically? It means that you're my brother. When you sin, it causes problems with me. You understand? Where do we know this? Israel. It's not the word Israel and Hamas. Oh, it's not a problem in America. Oh, it's a problem everywhere. Did you ever see a place in your life that you thought how connected we all are? So what happens in Israel before October 7th is affecting you today. Is affecting you today in America. You're all affected. So the problem is when you're fighting with people, you're basically fighting with your own team. And your enemy's just going to lose. So you have to recognize, I can't hate you because if I hate you, it's going to affect the team. And if the team loses, everybody loses. But if we recognize that I have to forgive you, because if I forgive you and I judge you favorably, I'm going to get judged favorably, and then God is going to judge you favorably, what's going to happen is then we all win. Do you understand? It's a team win. It's a team win. It's not to say, hey, you're doing bad things and I'm good. Leave me. You be you and let me be me. No. You affect me. You affect me. We all are affected. So you have to make peace, because it's we are all affected in this whole situation. We're all relatives. It's not to say I hate you, you should be punished. No, you're on my team. What do you mean you should be punished? So this is why you have to forgive everybody, because at the end of the day, we're all on the same team. That means if I judge you unfavorably, if I hold a grudge, then at the end of the day, we're all losing. We are all losing, believe me. You know, when we see these parades in Israel before October 7th, we're all scringing. We're like, this, something is not going to be good out of this. Forget their political views, but you know, there's a disaster coming. Because there's no our Father in heaven, if we're not united, he's a king. If we're united, he's a father. So when he's treating us like a king, it's justice. When he's treating us, when we're united, we're together. So the same thing with your family members. You're all on the same team. So you have to forgive. You have to give the benefit of the doubt. Why? Because you're all on the same team. Period. The fifth attribute is he does not maintain his anger forever. So just like you get upset, you can't replay the thing over and over to a person. You can't replay all over and over. You're upset yesterday, don't hold resentment. The resentment is holding in. So if you did something yesterday, tomorrow I could do a positive action, I can get cleansed. I'm no longer being reminded of my sins. But when you remind people of their constantly holding their anger together, that's called resentment. So this is where the letting go part. You have to let it go right away. You have to let it go, because you're doing. If you don't want Hashem to say, hey, imagine what I did when I was 21. I don't want God to bring those things up. He let it go already. Every year we get let it go. So you have to exactly the same way, you let it go. So basically when you let go of and you don't remind a person of the sin, then God doesn't remind you of your sins. So again, it says when a person has been offended, has every right to unleash his anger, but he controls himself and acts merciful, he awakens Hashem's merciful attribute. He does not maintain his anger forever. So what happens to deal with that? He merits grace. So that is the fifth one. The sixth one, he desires kindness. Very simple. You want kindness, you have to do kindness. And Rav Nachman says the first kindness you need to do is with yourself. If you look at criticism itself is a marriage killer. But it's usually people's own criticism spilling over to the other person. Chesed is finding the good points in them. Criticism is finding the negative points in them. Do you understand? And if you're criticizing too much, this means that you're criticizing yourself too much. And that means you're not finding the good point in yourself. So like we said before, when you find your good points in yourself, God will give you his bounty, because you can connect to his kindness. So that's the sixth one. The sixth one is finding the good. That's a simple one, but it doesn't seem so simple. If you look at most people, they're much more negative than positive. And that is all of a sudden spilling over to what? Other people. It's spilling over to other people. If it just spilled over to you, that would be okay. But it doesn't usually spill over to one person. It becomes a toxic situation. So what happens when you are like that? Then he's going to give you negative people. And then you have to find the good points in the negative people. And then you will find, by forgiving them, you forgive yourself. Basically, by giving, you are actually receiving. That's the whole point. Giving causes you to receive. Number seven, after the teshuvah, he will have mercy on you. Yashuv rachamenu. So normally what happens when you're talking to somebody and you get into a fight, it's usually sometimes people tell you, this guy's dead to me. Or I'll forgive you, but I'm not going to forget. I'm not telling you to be friends with people, but usually after the fight, after you do something wrong, your relationship with God, when you do teshuvah, and all teshuvah means is recalibrate consciousness. When you do teshuvah, you're actually a much better, you have a much better relationship with God than before. So it's the same thing. When people fight with people, you're supposed to have a better relationship with them than they originally had. That is very superhuman to do. I don't know if anybody can get this one, but usually husband and wife, after a fight, you should have a higher love. It should be a higher love, because any point of a contraction is for sake of expansion. So you shouldn't say, you're dead to me, I don't want to talk to you, I forgive you, but I don't want to talk to you anymore. That's not Tomer Devora. That's still ego, the ego doing the work. You should say, yes, I recognize you acted the way you did, because I didn't understand you enough, or you were in the wrong place in your life, or you had mental health issues. You don't understand the amount of mental health issues people have today. It's a real deal. So you really cannot judge any people. So you can't take these things personal. There's a lot of mental health issues, and people have no way to cope with them because they don't have dot. And when you want to give them dot, they don't want to listen to it. So you almost have to. You have to have rachamim. You have to have mercy on them, just like God has mercy on people. The same thing. But you should. It should. The seventh attribute is basically come back stronger than before. The eighth attribute is he suppresses our sins. He doesn't remind you every single time of your sins. He suppresses them. Today, we suppress our emotions. We don't suppress it. God suppresses your sins. That means when you make a sin, let's say you did 40 mitzvot, 40 good deeds, and then 30, and you did 30 bad deeds. Technically, he should say, you only have good deeds, 10 good deeds. But no, he gets rid of the 30, and you have the 40. So the system is made for you to win if you have some kind of an intent, etc. So the same thing when you see a person, you could say, because you could see marriage sometimes. I remember when things get bad, what do? You keep score. I'm up, I do this, you do this. I'm up 5, you do 4. I have 6, you do 3. I'm up 7, you're up 7, I'm 4. You did this, and I did this, and this. It's always, at the end of the day, if you look, it's a scoreboard. Who's winning the scoreboard? The one winning the scoreboard is more resentful. What's new under the sun? Correct? Let's be completely honest. So that's what happens. You're not supposed to say, I did 7 and you did 3. No. I'm extinguishing the bad that you did, and I'm looking only at the good that you did. So what happens when you do that? God does it with you. All of this is to help you. It has nothing to do with people. The whole point is, this whole situation is for you to have a better life. Like I gave a class in Mexico. I said, you guys want happiness, right? What do you think happiness is? How do you think you get to happiness? Imagine if you got rid of all your validation requests. Imagine if you got rid of all your grudges and resentments. Imagine if you got rid of all your comparison to other people. You would be happy. You would be happy. That's what's causing the unhappiness. Instagram is not making you happy. It's making you more... Ask people, is Instagram making you more happier, or is Instagram making you less happy? And most people tell you it's making you less happy, because you're constantly comparing yourself to people's highlights. Do you understand? You're comparing yourself to people's highlights. I meet some of the influencers, and what they have there is not what the reality is. Yes, if you show the 10 best highlights of the game, that's what it looks like. So you only say, oh, that must be that my life, and I don't have that kind of life. So you're just getting caught up in that trap. So you have to really, really be careful. Social media has not made women happier. Instagram has not made women happier today. It's made them more sadder, caused more fights with people. And again, there is a positive thing of Instagram. You could share Torah. I'll be back in a couple months when I just need a detox from everything. But there is positive thing about it, but most of it, it's not. Most of it, I would say, it's not positive. It's just too much. It's too much comparison. Compare, despair, etc. The ninth attribute is he casts all your sins into the sea. Again, he forgets about it. He doesn't remind you all the time about what you're doing wrong. When we say tashlik, that's it, forget it. Think about us. Do we remind people all the time, you did this, you did that? No, when you say tashlik, God's not reminding you every year of everything you did wrong. He forgets about it. So you cannot, if somebody comes and you cannot hold a grudge because of that same reason, because then God's going to hold the things on you. The tenth attribute is give truth to Yaakov. That means anytime we're connected to the truth, then God shines the light of truth on us. That's what's even it's important to be honest where you're at. Hashem, I'm struggling. Honestly, the truth is light. So the same thing with truth is that the 11th is the kindness of Abraham. That means going above the means. Abraham always went above his means. He went above. He didn't have to go and feed those three Arabs food. He went above his means. He went above. Chesed, kindness of Abraham. So you were reminded everything when I can break my own boundaries of chesed. Go above a little bit and God does a little bit above for you. You go above in charity, God does helps you a little above that. There's always the whole point about this. Anytime we are in despair, we are depressed, we are sad, it's because you're not doing anything. There's an opportunity there. There's always an opportunity. There's always an opportunity to help somebody else. The whole point is get out of your own head. That is the most important thing. Get out of your own head. Let's say we're sad with our partners and we're not happy in our marriage. Get out of your head. Go spend 20 minutes and pray for them. You understand? There's always something to do if you really recognize there's a point that you're in. You're stuck here for a reason. The worst is to take the stuckness and turn it into quicksand and sink in your own misery. That's what we don't want. We always want to create positive action to negate a negative action. That's the whole concept of this concept. The 12th one, as you swore to our forefather, basically everybody's from Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, and we're all from the same DNA. So because of you're from Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, that's why you should forgive them. Because if you have no other reason, this is the last ones are, if you have no other reasons, then you have to connect to that. And that's what I said, the 12th one, right? Is that your forefathers were great. That means you have to have some kind of greatness. And something good has to come out of you. And the 13th is from the days of past. The days of past means that there was one time in life that you didn't sin. Now, I'm not telling you right now to go and deal with very, very complicated people that are completely whacked out mindset. That's not the answer to this. This is, I'm talking about family members, people that have good intentions. You know, George Soros, you cannot judge him favorably at the end of the day. You cannot judge a guy like that who's a Rasha. You could see what the mixed multiple did. And what did they do? They caused the golden calf. So there's levels of evil that you're not even allowed to go even near. This is dealing with the average situation in your life where we're not asking you to go and be completely something that's not, you know, George Soros is not L'chav Schut, anything. He's a Rasha completely, informer in the Nazi. He's a Rasha completely. What he does, etc. That's not the answer here. That's not Tomer Devorah. Tomer Devorah is to find people in your life, people in your situations that you didn't understand them enough, that you judged them wrong, or you're holding grudges, and to release them for you. And what that does, it's just going to allow you to be free emotionally. It's going to allow you to have tons more parnasa, because at the end of the day, you're not holding any anger. Anger and parnasa are very connected. It's going to allow you to have great relationships, because at the end of the day, you're not going to be self-centered. You're in Tomer Devorah mode. So your relationships will flourish, your money will flourish, your health will flourish. Because at the end of the day, you're not holding any of these things. So if you want money, health, wealth, I would recommend this. Because ultimately, what are you doing? You're tapping into God's nature. Or you can not do this, hold a grudge, be sick, be on antidepressant pills, and talk about your husband all day long or your wife all day long in misery and anger and eat your own poison. So, or you can live a Tomer Devorah life. That's what God always gives us. I'm giving you a blessing or I'm giving you a curse. You choose what you want. Have a great day.